Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Ephesians,
the fourth chapter, beginning with the 15th verse.
Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and let us all say, amen. There were two brothers that lived on adjoining farms, and they got into a little bit of an argument with each other. It started just as a simple misunderstanding, and then it grew into hurt feelings, and then it grew into weeks of not talking to each other. One day, the older brother heard a knock on the door, goes to answer it, and it's a carpenter, and the carpenter is looking for work. And the older brother says, yeah, I do have a job you can do for me. I want you to look right over across that creek. You see that? That's my brother's farm. And you know what? In between us, there used to only be a meadow. But last week, you know what my crazy brother did? He took a bulldozer and bulldozed the levee, and now there's a creek running between us. But I'm going to go one step further. He says, I want you to take the wood around the back, and I want you to build a fence 8 foot tall so I don't ever have to look at him or his property again. Carpenter says, okay, I think I can do that. And if you don't like my work, you don't even have to pay me. Well, today I want to talk to you about fences. And fences come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Metal, there's wood, there's picket, there's plank fences. But fences have one of two jobs. Either they keep things in or they keep things out. In the parsonage, that's where I live with my family. You've got a beautiful parsonage. And in the back, there's a beautiful fence around the backyard. Now, in the front yard, I mow the front yard. I plant the flowers in the front yard. I take care of the front yard. The backyard with the fence around it, that's what my kids mow after I beg them, threaten them, right? That's where the bikes are. That's where all kind of stuff is in the backyard. We got a dog, so that's where the dog does his business in the backyard. So you got to watch your step when you go in the backyard. See, there's a fence that separates the front yard that looks really good on the backyard. It's just kind of a messed up backyard, right? Can I say something? I think that sometimes when we come to church, we come with a fence. We'll allow people to look at and to see everything all together on the outside. A smile on the face, everything. Oh, I'm doing great. I'm dressed up. I got my clothes on and this and that, whatever. But then when it comes to getting deeper inside, we've got our guard up. We have a fence that doesn't allow people to really get to know us. But can I tell you something? When it comes to God, I think that God would have us reconsider our fences. God would have us come to church with a different attitude when it comes to fences. And here's the first reason why I think that is because Jesus crashed down the fence between us and God. Jesus came and crashed down the fence between us and God. If you look at the story of the Bible as one big narrative, it's this narrative, how Adam and Eve, who were once in the garden and then kicked out of the garden because they sinned, right? And God places a fence around the garden, angels with swords that guard the entrance. It's a story about how Adam and Eve, kicked out of the garden, fence around it, try to get back to paradise and a right relationship with God. Fast forward the story a little bit and go to the time of the children of Israel becoming a nation. There was a place called the Holy of Holies. And first of all, the Holy of Holies was in the tabernacle because after they left Egypt, they had a big tent and they would travel around in this big tent. And the tent was like their place of worship. And in one room of that worship was the Holy of Holies. Well, later they become a nation and they still have this Holy of Holies room, but now it's in the temple that's been built to worship God. And the Holy of Holies is a special room that's sacred. It's where the presence of God is. It's a place of the most holiest experience of the nation's life. And it's so holy that it's separated from the rest of everything else with a big, huge veil. Once a year, the high priest gets a chance to go into the Holy of Holies and atone for the people's sins. Here's the definition of atone. Atone means to reconcile, to bring things back into right relationship. And so here's what happens. The high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkles the blood of a pure sacrificial lamb onto the altar. And it represents the people. God forgives them of their sins. And for a whole year, the people are in right relationship with God again. Now, this is such a serious thing that the priest wears bells on his robe. And he also has a rope that's tied around his waist. Can anyone think, why in the world would the priest have bells on his robe and a rope around his waist when he goes into the Holy of Holies? But he got an idea why? That's right, in case he dies. No one can come and get him, because this place is so sacred, it's so set apart, they've got to actually drag him back out. This was a serious place where only the priest could go. Fast forward one more time, and we come to the time of Jesus. And here's what Jesus does. It says this in Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the what? Holy place. How? By the blood of Jesus, not the blood of a sacrificial animal, but the very Son of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil. Remember, there's a veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple and the people. But that veil is no longer that heavy cloth. It's his flesh. And since we have such a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with what? Sincere hearts. In full assurance of faith. Let us draw near. It's the complete opposite of what everything else has been, right? Stay out. Stay out. Guarding angels with flaming swords. Stay out. Stay out. Only the high priest can come once a year. And here is something completely different. Instead, through our high priest Jesus Christ, you and I have the opportunity to come before Lord. It's as if Jesus dismissed the guarding angels. He kicked down the fence and said, you come. You come and be close with God. And here's what happens after Jesus dies. The scriptures talk about what happened to that veil. It says in Matthew 27, 51, at the moment, the curtain of the temple was what? Torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. And the rocks split. You know, if you were just to read the gospel and not be thinking about what it meant, you could read that and think, oh, okay, so the temple tore, there was a lot going on. No, this is something truly symbolic of the fence. The thing being there to keep us from God. It's ripping, and God is begging us to come and be close with him together. I love the thought about God inviting us and wanting to be with us, having a desire to be in relationship with us. But it's interesting. God tears down the veil. God knocks down the fence. But God doesn't literally pick us up and throw us and say, you know what, you're coming over here. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus still stands at the door and knocks. And if any man will let him in, come and sup with him, right? But we have to make the decision still. Just because the fence is down, just because the veil is torn, it doesn't mean that you still don't have a responsibility to say, you know what, I'm going to take that step towards the God who has said yes to me, and I'm going to say yes to him, right? But not only is this about us being in relationship with God, it's also about us allowing others to be in our yard as well, right? Am I going to take that next step? And am I going to allow others to be in my life? I remember when I was a kid, my sister, Jeannie, 5 years younger than me, we would be at the kitchen table together eating breakfast before school. And my sister, she would get upset if I was messing with her. And she would take the cereal boxes and she would line them up in front of her, right? She'd make a little fortress, right? And then she'd open up a box and she'd say, Mommy, he's looking at me! Close the box up, right? You know what I mean? But this reminds me something. There is fences that need to come down in our lives. And yet there's still room for boundaries, okay? Boundaries are not something that just are supposed to keep people away from us, don't ever come around me, but boundaries help us to be in right relationship with one another. Think about this. Jesus even had boundaries, right? There were times in his ministries he would slip away from the crowd. He'd say, okay, I got to rest. I got to get myself together. But it's important to recognize that our relationship with God and one another are in a special way. If we love God, we live that out by how we love one another. I like to think about it this way. In terms of relationships with the church, there's three of them. We talked a little bit about this last week. There's our relationship that we have with God, our relationship that we have with the other people in our church, and then the relationship that we have with our community, the neighbors, right? And if we have that mixed up in any way, then we're not truly the church. If we only worship God, but I don't want to have anything to do with my community, and I don't want to have anything to do with my brothers and sisters, you know what we're like? We're like a monastery where we don't speak. Shh. You know, I'm sorry, but that's not the church, right? That's a monastery, right? Now, what if we only take care of ourselves? We only like each other. We forget God and forget the community. You know what we are? We're a social club. That's all we are. We're just a social club. Well, what if we forget God and forget one another and all we do is care about our community? Well, we're a social justice club. That's great. It's good to be a social justice club. It's good to be a country club. And it's good to go to a monastery for a minute. But if you want to be the church, it's bringing all of that together and being in a right relationship with God, with one another, and caring for our community. And that happens when we are willing to let go of some of the fences that so often separate us. Here's how we do it. The scripture talks about this in Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake assembling together. Do not forsake assembling together. I'm not just talking about coming together on Sunday, but it's about being a part of each other's lives. It's about caring for one another. You know, I'm going to say this. I went and saw David Hunter, and there's sometimes when you go to see a person, you know, you're not exactly certain. Oh, okay, how am I going to be received? Whatever. I went and saw David and Margaret Hunter, and you know, I could just tell that they just needed. They needed somebody to be there for them. And there are times in our lives where we wonder, man, how am I going to be received? If I go to see, you know, then I slam the door shut. They don't want to be bothered by me. But there are times when we just need to be there for one another. I came across an interesting video that I wanted to show you. It talks about the difference between having someone visit today compared to 20 years ago. So just check this out for a quick minute.
I was sitting in my house a couple weeks ago, just relaxing. My doorbell rang. This is weird. It's a different feeling when your doorbell rings today opposed to 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago, your doorbell rang. That was a happy moment in your house. It's called company. You'd be sitting there on a Thursday night watching TV. Your doorbell rang. The whole family shot off the couch. Oh, my God! Put the lights on. Somebody's here. We got people. The whole family went to the door. The kids were in socks. They slid up to the door. Nobody looked to see who it was. Right? You just opened up the door. You were like, oh my God, look at that. Look at who's here. So be like, I was in the neighborhood. I thought I might stop by, see how the kids are doing. They're like, oh, come on in. Your mother had a tin, brown and orange tin of Sanka, ready to go just in case the company. She put a big pot on the table. Go ahead. Nobody had a cell phone back then. If your house phone did ring, your father stood up and said, nobody get that phone. We got company. And you lost track of time. 2 hours went by. You were like, we got to get out of here. That's okay. Next time we're going to come by, you'll be like, yeah, my door's always open. Now your doorbell rings? It's like, what was that? Right, your own mother's crawling across the kitchen floor. Get down the army crawl. Army crawl, get in the closet. Go get the sword in the living room. Somebody get the sword underneath the couch in the living room. There's a sword.
Anybody can relate to that? Or is that right? Okay. In my own house, the doorbell rang about 11, maybe 11:30, about three nights ago. And me and my wife did exactly that. What in the world, you know? Run down to my wife, said, don't answer the door, don't answer the door. Looking out the window, guess what happened? My son had ordered Grubhub and fallen asleep. So there they are delivering food at 11:30. And we're freaking out like, who in the world is at our house? Sometimes we're like that, right? And the challenge for us, though, is when we come together as family, as a church, how is it that we can live in such a way that we can let down our guard and learn to appreciate the opportunity that we have to grow together? One of the answers for that comes from our scripture. It says this in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. You know what I hear most about that is be yourself. Show your true self. Speak your truth. Because so often we're just, you know, I'm not going to be true. I'm not going to be real. I'm not going to show who I really am. I'm not going to talk to you in a way that I love you and that I care about you and that allows for us to have disagreements. You know, we go around and instead of speaking the truth in love, we'll just be like, I'm right, you're right, everybody's right, so don't even mention it. Don't mention any conflict. Don't mention any problem. And we'll just ignore everything, right? Is that speaking the truth in love? No, that's having fences up. That's having barriers. I'm so thankful Elaine's going to be putting together an opportunity for us to be able to deal with, along with others in the district, how to deal with conflict. And when she gives us information about that workshop, I really would love for a number of us to be a part of that and learn how can we speak the truth in love? How do we let down our guard and yet be genuine and loving? There's a TV show that was real popular about a decade ago. It's called Home Improvement. And it was about a man, Tim the Tool Man Taylor, right? And his family. And it was also about his neighbor. His neighbor's name was what? Wilson, right? But the thing is, you never saw Wilson's face. He was always behind the fence. And you know what? When you think about it in a sad way, sometimes that's what we're like in church. We never truly allow people to see us, to be with us in the midst of our heartache, our pain, our struggles. We're trying to just allow people only to see the best. But I want to say the way that we grow as a church is to be vulnerable, is to still have your boundaries. We need those, but to let go of the fence that keeps people at a distance and truly be ourselves. Well, here's a question. How is that happening in our lives? Instead of just talking about it in general, how does that happen in our actual lives? Some people are learning to do that in the spiritual growth classes and like the men's Bible study and time that's spent together. I'm sure that as the Stephen ministers were getting together, they were talking, how do you listen? Not give everybody all this advice, but how do you listen and be present with a person during their hurt? How do you learn how to be accountable to someone? How do you learn confidentiality? And I think that begins with us taking the time to be together and then just talking things out, sharing with one another. I've got a person here at the church. His name is Frank Huber. And during the first service all the time, I always talk about Frank Huber during my sermons. So I want to tell you the reason why that happened. Is because years ago, I was associate pastor here, and this is probably maybe even 14, 15 years ago. I'm in the trustees meeting, and you know, I'm the young guy. No one cares what Pastor Joe thinks or anything like this. Frank Huber said in the middle of a meeting, I want to hear what Pastor Joe's got to say about this. Well, In all the meetings, no one had ever said anything like that. And you know what? At first, I was in shock, and then I realized something. Frank Hubert respects me. Frank Hubert cared about what my opinion was. He wanted to know. That was his way of saying, I care about you. So my way of saying I care about you, Frank Hubert, is to mess with him every Sunday that I get a chance to in the sermon, right? But here's my question. Do people in this church know that you care about them? I mean, seriously, think about it. Is there someone who knows that you absolutely love them? Karen's away. Do people in this church know that you love them? Okay. And the way that you show or that you tell people that you love them is, how do you do that, Karen? Listen. Here's a challenge for you. In your own life, how do the people around you know that you think you're special? How have you let down your fence? How have you shown yourself to be real and honest with them? I want to give you a couple of suggestions of ways that we can build community here at the church. And I think I've got four of them. Mark, if you could help me out with that. First one is, how about this? Cook a meal for someone who's sick, right? I just mentioned David Hunter's in the hospital with his wife. Invite someone to go to eat after church. Sit with someone new at a meal. Isn't it interesting all of these have to do with eating? But think about it. When we have our meal time here after service, we have a meal, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm just telling you what I see. What do? We go out there, and before we even get in line, we start saving seats. Why do we do that? Am I saving this seat for someone brand new who's going to sit right here beside me? Am I doing it for that reason? No, I'm saving my seat so that I can sit with the same person that I've sat with for every meal for the last 40 years, right? I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm just trying to challenge you to think about a new way. Is how do we grow as a church? How do we learn to love? How do we show that we appreciate others? It might be by taking that step and doing something with someone that doesn't know, that we haven't got a chance to meet. And then here's another one. Team up with someone to do a volunteer project. Well, let me also talk about some of the expectations that come when we talk about letting fences down. Have healthy expectations. Now, we might have an expectation, you know what? I'm going to know every single person in the church. They're going to all be my best friend. Is that a healthy expectation? No! Now, you might say, you know, I would love to be an acquaintance with every single person in the church. I'd love to have a few really close friends, and I'd love to have one just person who's just got my back, who's there for me. I just absolutely... That would be a healthy expectation, because we're not all instantly going to change into extroverts, or, you know, we're still going to be who we are. We're going to still need our boundaries and space. So I'm not trying to say that. Here's the last the next thing that's important is taking baby steps are okay. We don't have to change everything, but it might just be we're going to change one thing. And in your mind, as you listen to this sermon today, what's the one thing that you can change? And here might be the biggest one thing that you change. Is all of a sudden you come to the realization, I have been invited to the Holy of Holies. I have been invited to come in a close relationship with God, and that I haven't been doing that. And maybe I have been taking it for granted. I've been waiting to come to church and for the pastor or for the praise team or someone else to go before the Lord for me and pray for me. No, you yourself get a chance to be a priest in your household. You yourself get that chance to draw close to God. I love the thought of this. If I wasn't here one Sunday, what would happen? If Pastor Paula wasn't here one Sunday, what would happen? Go down the line, down the line, and down the line, down the line, down the line, until it gets to you. You are in charge of having church. Do you know that? If they were to come in here today and start arresting us and taking us up, until you're gone, you are in charge. You are the minister of this congregation. You are the minister in your family. You have the opportunity to draw close in the house of the Lord. Last thing I want to just say is take ownership, especially as we talk about dropping fences and being in relationship with others. Someone could come in, not speak to anybody, sit down, not say anything to anyone, not smile at anybody, Get up after the service. That was cold as church. No one spoke to me. They were all so into themselves, right? And the question to be asked, did you smile at somebody? Did you speak to someone? It's not everybody's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility. All of us can take a step in reaching out to one another. There were two brothers that lived on adjacent farms, and they had a disagreement with each other that turned into an argument that turned into weeks of silence. Knock came on one of the elder brothers' doors. He was a carpenter. He asked, do you have any work that I might be able to do? And the elder brother says, yes, indeed I do. He said, I want you to take a look over that creek and the adjacent farm over there. That's my brother's. And it used to be a meadow that was between us until my crazy brother took his bulldozer and emptied the levee, and now there's a creek between us. He said, but I'll take it one step further. He said, I want you to take the wood around the back, and I want you to build me a fence 8 feet tall so I never have to look at my brother again. Carpenter said, I can do that. And he said, you know what? If you don't like my work, you don't have to pay me. So the brother went to town, and the carpenter went to work. When the brother comes back from town, instead of seeing an 8 foot tall fence, what does he see? A bridge. And there is his younger brother walking across with his hand outstretched. Can I tell you something? Jesus is our high priest. And instead of a fence with guarding angels, instead of a holy of holies with a veil that separates us, he has come and ripped it in two. It is his own flesh that he has torn apart. It was his blood upon the altar that is a sacrifice for us. And Jesus for us builds bridges between God, us, and one another. Let us do the same. Amen.